Hey, my name is Zach. I'm the lead pastor here at Restore. And at our church, we talk a lot about wanting to be a part of restoring faith in Jesus and the church. So we want you to know, wherever you find yourself on your spiritual journey, whether you're deconstructing or reconstructing, whether you're disentangling, doubting, rebuilding, no matter where you are, we want you to know that you are not alone. And we want to be a support for you as you journey down this road of faith. So if you have questions or you need support, we would love to chat with you. You can reach out to us through our website at restoreaustin.org. And we hope you enjoy this week's message.
Morning, everybody. My name is Ashley Surratt. I'm the volunteer coordinator here. Me and my husband, Trevor, we've been going to Restore, 3 years. We got involved in the thick of COVID, so, you know, the time is a little bit blurry. We just moved to New Braunfels. So go unicorns. I think that's their mascot. I don't actually know. I don't have school-age kids. I have two babies. I have my daughter will be 2 in September, and then my son will be 4 months old in... He's 4 months old now. Excuse me. What I think I'm most excited about for my daughter to turn 2 is to be off the hook in explaining her age in months. Do you know what I mean? It's like I took her to the museum the other day and a fellow mom came up and was like, oh, she's so cute. How many months? And I was like, 19, I think, 21-ish. It's like a soft 21, you know? And she looked at me like, you don't know how many months your daughter's been in your life? Like, what else do you not know? How many times a day you're supposed to feed her? And to recover, you know, I'm freaking out. I'm like, well, you know, it's just really not the months of her life to remember. It's the life in those months. So something about me is I can talk the talk when it comes to Christianity. I grew up in a Christian home in the early 2000s. So if you did that, you know, it's a special flavor of Christianity, 2000s Christianity, right? And then to make it even better, I graduated from high school and I went to Dallas Baptist University, DBU. Went there for 2 years, transferred to CBU, the California version of DBU, pretty much. And then also somewhere in the midst of there, I took one summer school class online at Liberty University. It was just a class, but for the sake of my argument, I'm included as a school, so I went to 3 Christian colleges. 3, the most holy number, right? So something I've noticed about all the Christian colleges I went to, people would say, it's like a bubble. And what they mean by that is there's a thick culture there, right? And there's this unspoken it girl, like a token boy, a token girl that we're all trying to be like. And I personally got sucked in. Let me explain to you this it girl. She loves God. She absolutely loves God. She kind of has longer hair. She's kind of an easier, breezier. She's not super fussy, right? I wouldn't say she's high maintenance. She might have her nose pierced. She might. She absolutely has a Greek word tattooed right here. Isn't that so spiritual? I'm just joking. I shouldn't say that. I think Zach has one of those tattoos. Anyways, she is kind. There's definitely some good characteristics about her. She's kind, you know. Some of them, not all of them, have the spiritual gift of guitar playing, but not all of them, right? Because the ear can't be a foot, right? We're all different parts of the body. And something I noticed about this is if you do have the spiritual gift of music, you must also have the spiritual gift of being able to find a guitar within a 500-foot radius. Do you know what I mean? You know these girls? You know, you're just sitting out there, hanging out, you look to the side, bam, she's got a guitar. Where'd you find that? She's playing Good Father. Worship music's playing. All of a sudden, you're at IHOP. So there's just a special culture about Christian schools that I was just immersed in, right? So I am being a little bit silly this morning, but I'm also being a little serious. The point I'm trying to make here is, for some reason, as somebody who is in the thick of this culture, it's really natural to equate being like other godly people you're around to godliness. What I'm trying to say is you start to measure how close you are to God by how much you're like other people you perceive to be close to God. Have you ever done this before? Thought to yourself, the more I'm like God, the more I will look like this, the more I'll talk like this, the more I'll pray like this. That's a good one, pray like this. I personally got really sucked into saying God a billion times in my prayer. Dear God, we thank you so much, God, for being here today, God, right? Because that's what people were doing like me. What's so interesting about Christian culture is they preach this message of countercultural. So if you grew up in this world, you've probably heard messages like, we're supposed to be in the world, but not of it, right? If the world doesn't like you, it's okay. They didn't even like Jesus, you know? Or like, if you're following Jesus, then you're not gonna fit in. But I feel like that goes out the window when we talk about Christian culture. If to be a Christian in Christian culture, you do have to fit in. You do feel like you have to be accepted, or you start getting in your head like, am I actually praying right? Do I actually believe in God? Do I belong? I like to imagine David in the Bible. David, the Bible calls him the man after God's own heart. That's a big title, right? And I just like to imagine, what would happen if he were to walk onto my Christian campus? What if he wanted to join one of my small groups? What if he asked to lead worship in chapel? What type of assumptions would I find myself making about his proximity to God because he didn't pray like the rest of us, right? This is a little skit I have in my head. I imagine it being like this, a Christian girly. Oh God, thank you so much, God, for being here today, God. You are just so good and merciful, God. And then it's like David. Let death take my enemies by surprise. Let them go down alive in the realm of the dead, you know? And by the way, I didn't make that up. That is Psalm 55:15. He does pray that. So I just feel like I would start making assumptions about his walk with God. And I did. So that's kind of a little bit of my story as following God and being in the thick of Christian culture. Is I started believing that fitting in was a really helpful measuring stick to how much I was like God. And even more, it was shame casting and shame inducing because I was feeling like I could measure other people's proximity to God based on how well they fit in. Messy. It's really messy. So I can remember being so frustrated and praying, God, I just want to hear from you like the way so-and-so hears from you. I just want to get these revelations from you the way that so-and-so does. I want to be kind like the way so-and-so is. And I would pray, God, bring me closer, bring me closer. And sometimes I feel like he would. Sometimes I would maybe have a little bit of like a sense of like maybe inner peace. I would read the Bible and I would feel like, oh, I'm feeling really invited to grow in this certain way. But then other times I would open the Bible and say the same prayer, God, I know you want me to be closer. I want to be close to you. Can you do it for me? And I don't know, nothing. I just didn't feel anything. Nothing clicked. I didn't have an epiphany of any sort. And the more I think about it, I'm like, this is a theological mess. The idea that I'm praying to be closer to God and he appears to be disinterested, that doesn't really align with the whole like he put on flesh to be in our midst thing, or the whole like he left us the Holy Spirit that we have access to 24/7 so we can always be like in prayer with him, or the way that like, you know, his son's death permanently united us to him and we're gonna be together forever. That didn't really line up to me. So here I am in the midst of my, I've been following God for so long. I don't think I'm close to him. Does he want to reveal himself to me? What does closest to God look like? So what I found, obviously hindsight's 20/20. I didn't know this when I was 18. There were three things I was using to measure my proximity to God. And before I break down those three things I was using as measuring sticks, I just want to jump to the end and say, the answer was, you are close to God. If you have felt like this, spoiler alert, you are close to God. God is near to you. The scripture points that out. His spirit is with us right now. He's not a God we have to beg to show up. There's no bribes needed. There's not even really a behavior we can do that like lures him closer like I believed. You are close to God. So maybe you'll identify with these measuring sticks I'm going to share this morning. Maybe you've been measuring your proximity to God with these. And I pray in the name of Jesus that we can be done with them. Okay, number one, how much I was like other Christians. I really struggled to pray in my head. Turns out, most people have what they call an internal monologue. I don't have one of those. I realized this not too long ago that I don't have an internal monologue. And what I'm imagining is if you have one, it's like you have a voice in your head that narrates your thoughts to you. Yep. That sounds fun. That sounds noisy. I do not have that. And so when it came time for me to start praying in my head, it was really hard. It was really hard. What are we thinking? Are we thinking a script? Do we memorize it? I just didn't get it. It was really, really hard for me. So I was like, well, if I can't pray, then what can I do? You know, like, I feel like that's like a really big part of following God. And so I felt a lot of shame around the idea of me not being able to pray in my head. Now I know that I'm a girl who needs to type her prayers or write her prayers or pretend to talk on the phone when she's praying. And that helps me, you know, get the words out. But when everybody else around me could just, what I'm imagining is pray in their head all the time, it made me feel like, oh, I must be far from God. The other thing is, I just felt really disingenuous when saying Christian things. Have you ever heard someone describe something so normal, but like so spiritual, you know what I mean? And like, it's just like, you just ate breakfast. That's really all there is. It wasn't like God was nourishing your body in this really trying season and you're going through the fire. You know, like I just ate, it's just not that deep. For me, it just wasn't that deep. So I had a really hard time feeling like I was connected to God because everybody else was having these spiritual experiences when they ate their cereal and I was running late. That's all there was to it. So those are some measuring sticks that I used to use. Okay, measuring stick number two I used to use to measure how close I was to God. How little I doubted. You know, it's so natural for us to imagine the close to God, they don't doubt. The close to God, they don't have questions. So let's go back to David, the man after God's own heart. He heard from God. We see in the scriptures all the time that God was giving him direction. God was giving him provision. God was saying, don't do that. God was saying, bad idea. God was giving him, he heard the voice of God, right? But then we see in Psalm 21, David is begging to be near God. He says, do not cast me away when I'm old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. For my enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire together. They say, God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for no one will rescue him. David says, do not be far from me, my God. Come quickly to help me. I'm seeing David be a little unconfident if God is near him in this scripture. And I think that's so eye-opening that we know David knows God. We know God is near David. But yet still he's confused if God is going to be near him, if he's close to God. He's a man after God's own heart, you know? Have you ever been like this, been confused, like, does God see me? Do my prayers fall on deaf ears? I thought I was close to God, but I mean, there's like, I don't really know if I believe in this characteristic of God. Is God even real? And when we use that to measure our closeness to God, it's just a fake measuring stick. I mean, not to give you guys emotional whiplash, but the next psalm that he writes, he says, but as for me, how good is it to be near God? I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everybody about the wonderful things you do, right? We know that David is a man after God's own heart. He has always been close to God. So we can't let our doubts or our questions be the measuring stick of how like close we are to the Father, right? I would go ahead and debate that the godly have more questions. But that's a different sermon. Okay, my third measuring stick, how sinful I perceived myself to be. This one was a big one for me, you guys. I grew up with this, I don't know where I learned it. I just learned it somewhere as a kid, that God can't be near sin. Have you guys ever heard that before? He can't be near sin. You're the muddy dog and God is like in the perfect white dress and you don't want the mixing, you know, all the analogies. And for me, with the small rationing skills I had, it clicked. Oh yeah, if God's perfect and I'm not, like I'm aware that I'm like making mistakes, I guess we can't be near each other, okay. But I just don't see that at all in scripture. The Old Testament gives us multiple accounts of God saying like, hey, when you mess up, come to the tabernacle, come closer. You know, God is people to come to his courts to give sacrifices. God is saying, actually, I'd like to set up my tabernacle everywhere so I can be everywhere with you guys, which we know there's sin everywhere. And I hate to use the word quarantine because it's a little triggering for us all now. Thank you to 2020. But like, we would need God to quarantine from us if that was true. If God really couldn't be near sin and we are hurting ourselves and hurting each other sometimes, like that would mean God would have to be far, but the scripture shows us that God's near. Emmanuel, God with us. What the heck? How can he be with us if he can't be near? But I believed it for so long. I believed it for so long. David says in Psalm 139, 7 through 10, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are here. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. There's nowhere we can go to get far from God. He's here. He's close. You can't get closer. You can't get far. It's the imagery we see in 1 John 1:14, the idea of God, you know, coming into our neighborhood, pitching a tent right here. He's with us at all times. You can't move away from him. And this is one of the things that Jesus spent clarifying when he came to earth, right? You used to think God was for these kinds of people. You used to think God was really drawn in by these types of behaviors, but that's not really it. He's actually good news for all, right? He's accessible to all. He's approachable by all. All, right? All means all. I think Jess Connolly, one of my favorite authors and speakers, really sums this idea up well. She says, you can't get any closer to Jesus. If by grace, through faith, you have a relationship with him, you can't get closer to God. Your experience of intimacy may increase, but your proximity can't. The Old Testament tells us there is nowhere we can go to get further from him. And the New Testament tells us that there's no condemnation, no shame, no sin that separates us from his love. Sometimes we believe that sanctification is a sliding scale of proximity to his presence, but all of the world points to a deeper truth. We can stop trying to earn our place in the kingdom. So what if spending time with God, praying, loving our neighbor is less about trying to get closer to God and just agreeing that he's here and we're close? It's just agreeing that we can't get closer to God. We don't have to work for his approval. That's anti-gospel. That's anti-life and work of Jesus. He is good news and close to everyone. So it's easier said than done to remember that God is near us at all times. And something that I find to be such a grounding practice for me, I'm gonna share with you guys right now. So back to my daughter, who's who knows how many months old. She is in her fun phase. I am living and loving this age because she's starting to, I don't know, what's it called? Like a talking parrot, you know? It's like you say something and then you like hear it again. Yay! And she's kind of a mirror for us. She has a super fun personality. I'm obviously biased, but y'all, her first word was hi, you know? Like, she's just, I love her so much. Anyways, we spend a lot of time together. Me and my husband, we both work from home all day. Two of our babies, home all day. Everybody home all day. We spend so much time with each other. So naturally, because we are close, she spends time with me and she kind of starts to pick up on my quirks, right? Some mannerisms. She'll talk on the phone and I know what you guys are imagining. You're imagining this. No, that's not how they do it anymore, you guys. This is not the phone, it's this. Isn't that weird? I think that's so weird. So she'll pretend to talk on the phone. She'll be on FaceTime and stuff. And you know, when you see her doing that, you're like, that's not in your DNA. You saw that somewhere. You're acting like your mom. You're being like your mom. So I have a couple other pictures to show of some monkey see, monkey do behaviors. Okay, don't you love the shoulder scrunch? You know, it's like her hands are busy doing what? Changing a diaper? I don't know. Okay, tell me your mom loves TikTok without telling me your mom loves TikTok, am I right? Shoes on, she's shopping, her shoes are on. It's very pure. She's sweeping. She sweeps our house. Isn't that sweet? So all of these things, I didn't necessarily teach her to do. She just spends time with me. She sees me doing them. You would never look at that and be like, oh, that's just so her. You would say, you saw that somewhere. You're acting like your mom. That's really sweet, right? And I just want to say the same thing about myself and the same thing about you this morning. When I see you and me loving, having joy, being gentle, being kind, those are characteristics from God. You're acting like God. I'm acting like God because we're close to him. I could even go the next step and say, hey, you know what? You remind me of him. When you're having self-control, you remind me of God. And the scripture spells out the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. These are the characteristics that are the mark of God's Spirit, right? You're acting like God, a mini God, if you will, right? And oh snap, doesn't that check out? Because the word Christian actually translates to mini Christian. You're acting like, mini Jesus. You're reminding me of God. And so when I look back on College Ashley, who was just racking her brain trying to figure out how the heck am I going to get closer to God, I just think about Jesus watching me in a Bible study that I was in, like really, really stressed about having to pray out loud because I just felt too far from him. I couldn't do it. Or I think about Jesus looking down on me and I am just trying my hardest to say the words season and joy and love and mercy enough when I was on a coffee date. Or the me that was every night in bed saying the same prayer over and over and over again, God, please bring me closer. How many times do I have to ask? I just imagine that he would cut my face and be like, hey, Ashley, y'all are already close. And actually, you remind me of him a lot. I see so much love, joy, peace, patience. And when you do that, you have his quirks. You guys are close. And that's copy-paste to you guys this morning. You are close to God. You are close to God. You cannot get closer. When you are up all night because injustice is bothering you, you remind me of God. When you're trying to soothe your kid when you are exhausted, you remind me of God. When you're holding your tongue at work, you remind me of God. When you don't know what's going on and you're just trying to make the next right step, you remind me of God because you guys are close. He is close to you. He's close to you. To close, I'm going to share a little story of St. Patrick. If he's a really interesting story, and I will encourage you to Google it because I am going to deduce his whole life story into a couple sentences. So sorry, but it is really interesting. And in the sake of time, I'm going to kind of boil it down a little bit. But he was kidnapped by Irish pirates as a teenager, and he was brought to be a slave in Ireland. There he became a shepherd. And as he was in the field as a shepherd, he started getting to experience God in nature and decided he started having a relationship with the Spirit of God. And in the quiet and seeing, you know, everything that was around him, he started really learning how to pray and kind of take on the posture of prayer. So then he goes back to where he came from and he escaped and he decided he was going to go to seminary and he served there for a very, very long time, decades. One night he had a dream and it was his former slave owner in his dream. And his slave owner said, come back to us and show us your ways. So I'm imagining he woke up the next morning and got going on that. I don't really know the timeline. He went to the church and he said, I want to go back to Ireland. I had this dream and explained the whole thing. And at the time, it was a steep request because Ireland was wild. It was probably the least churched, area. I'm not a history girl. Okay, so instead of getting him and all the other pastors together, showing up in Ireland and just, wearing the sword of the Spirit and the clunky belt of truth and saying like, we know God, we know it's right, and we're gonna tell you how you're wrong because God is real. He didn't do that. He brought musicians with him. He brought bakers, he brought artists, he brought pastors, and they all got off their ship together and they said, greetings to you. We come on behalf of the God that's already in your midst. They honored that God was already close to these people. He was already in their midst. There was already traces of him, the love, the joy, the peace, already in their midst. And they helped them have their eyes open to see where God already was. They helped them agree with God's proximity to them. And I think that's why St. Patrick was so pivotal in the history of Christianity spreading because he honored the nature of God. God with us, accessible to all, approachable to all, near to all. So I want to leave you guys with that this morning. That you are close to God. I am close to God. We can get closer. That's just the reality of Jesus. Is he is here. His spirit is accessible. It's in our hearts. We can see him when we look. We are close to God. And you remind me of him. Let's pray. God, thank you for being here with us this morning. God, I just ask that you would continually remind us of your closeness. God, I pray for everybody in this room that we would be able to perceive how involved you are, God. I pray that we would be able to shake off any type of like lie or false theology we were taught that you need to be far, that you need begging to show up, that we have to do certain types of behavior to lure you in, God. I pray for those of us who feel like we've been measuring ourselves based off of measuring sticks that you did not give us. Lord, I pray that they'd be gone. I pray that you would continually give us resources to see how close we are to you, that you would give us friends that show us how close we are to you, Lord. I pray for healing for anybody who has felt guilt or shame about being far from God. We know you're here. We know you're excited to be near us. You're looking at us so excited that we're in your family. You're beside us, you're above us, you're before us, you're everywhere, Lord. And I pray that you would open all of our minds and our eyes to that reality, that we would get on board with that. We pray all of these things because we can pray whenever we want, seriously. We love you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ashley.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
Some
Q&A?
Oh, boy. Yeah, I'm ready.
The tables have turned.
The tables have turned.
It's great. Thank you for that. That was really great. Something that's a topic generally that I've, wrestled with a lot
especially
the last year. What does it mean for God to be near to us? And what does it mean to feel that? Does that matter? Which I guess let's start there. That's kind of first question. Like, do you feel like it matters that we feel close to God at times? It's a light question. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for starting off easy. I really appreciate it. Does it matter if we feel close to God?
Yeah. If we know that and believe that that God is always present and that we cannot be any closer or further away.
Yeah.
Do our feelings make a difference in our life, I guess you could say?
Well, thinking back on my wrestling of, am I close to God? I think one of the biggest things that have changed is my view on God. Am I looking for a specific fuzzy feeling? Or am I thinking when I look at nature, the way, photosynthesis works or something like that, the way that God has programmed our world to exist. Is that God? When I see the way how intricate the body, right? I just had two babies, so pregnancy was really wild, and I saw so many things that God had fashioned. Maybe I didn't necessarily have a fuzzy feeling God is here, but I was growing a baby as I slept. I'm gonna go ahead and call that God. So I think, I don't know. I don't really have an answer, but I would say the more you can call God, the closer I think you're gonna feel to him. The more you can open your mind to just a warm, fuzzy feeling or this sense of peace, which he is,
sure.
But there's just more to God for us to experience. And maybe this makes me woo-woo, but I'm going to go ahead and say food that tastes good is God,
Yeah.
I think that's God's design. That's just my opinion. And so, I may feel extra close to God at lunch today. And I'm being silly, but I'm being serious. The more we see God's fingerprint on our human experience, I think the closer we feel to him.
Yeah, that's good. Speaking of food,
oh dear.
What do you like to eat?
What do I like to eat? I know this. I don't know why this question is so hard sometimes. Well, I actually grew up eating a lot of Mexican food and hated every second of it.
Really?
I know. Yeah, but don't worry. I'm mostly over it now. I'm married into a lifestyle of frequent Mexican food, and so I just got on board. So I do like Mexican food now. We just moved to New Braunfels, so I'm getting to like, there's like a little bit of, a German flair that I'm getting to experience. Yes. But by and large, I like to eat breakfast. All breakfast foods, all times of the day.
Kind of the same way.
Yeah, all times of the day too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nice. Cool. Do you like New Braunfels?
So far, I love it. I didn't
As
know
in
if
it's
I was...
so far.
No, I love how far it is. I've been there for, 4 or 5 weeks. And so what I love about it, you know, I thought I was going to be a country girl. I'm not a country girl. I'm a city girl. And I love having things at my fingertips. When we lived in Marble Falls, we didn't really live in Marble Falls. We lived like 35 minutes from anything. And so, I mean, there's a Dutch Bros 3 minutes from my house.
There you go.
I love it.
Living
I love
life.
It.
Yeah.
I hear snapping. Nice. I'll snap to that.
Nice. That's awesome. Cool. Good. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
So you've been on staff for, a year and two?
Yeah, a soft year. Year and some.
Yeah. What's been your favorite part so far about working on our team and your interaction with the people at Restore?
That's a good question. I think it's really easy. I did have a handful of internships, and I did work in churches before I got here. And, you know, I would not say I necessarily had church hurt, but I would say I kind of walked in with some church ick. You know what I mean by ick? Like, just, okay. And, naturally, to be transparent, you're going to be kind of cautious going into another job similar. And Restore, it seems so loving and accepting and collaborative. Like, as a staff, it felt like everybody's ideas was really valued. But you don't really know till you get in. You don't. And I would say about a handful of months in, I had a moment where I was like, wow, it's actually better than I thought. It's better than it looks. And I think that's been so healing. And I think it's expanded my view of God, because Restore does such a good job trusting that everybody is hearing from God and has a unique side of him to bring to the table. So God doesn't just look this way. He looks all of these ways. And so I would say that's probably been my favorite part so far.
Yeah, that's awesome. Cool. Thank you for sharing that. You want some more questions? How much time we got?
Give me one more. We'll be kind.
All right. Let's see. When you think about community and the mission of the church and the role of everyone pitching in, like you mentioned, you know, everybody's a part of the body, and in community being a central part of that. What do you love about Restore? And in that vein, like, do you feel like, you know, in your role and volunteering, like that is working well, I guess maybe is the question, that you feel like the people you talk to and how you see all of us together working, and you talk to a lot of people every week, man, lots of emails and lots of, you know, connecting and getting things sorted out. Like, do you feel like Restore is doing well on that mission?
Yeah, I would say I do think Restore is doing well. To make sure I'm understanding your question.
Yeah, that was a kind of winding.
It's fine. It's fine. You're asking, do I think, as someone who gets to see all the inner workings, is it going good?
Yeah.
It's going good, you guys. Yeah. No.
Would you tell us if it wasn't?
Probably not. It's not my personality. That's cool. But seriously, no, it is going really well. And I really do enjoy getting to see when you guys do submit blackout dates and you guys tell me why you're going to be gone. Oh, I'm going to my sister's wedding. Or, I can't do this. And I'm curious. I really do enjoy getting to see you guys' full lives, and I think it makes me be so appreciative when you do show up and you do serve, because I do know that. I mean, I have never met anybody that will say, oh, me? I'm not busy. I got nothing. Everybody's busy, you know? Everybody's busy. And so, getting to see the background and to see how, you know, much of a fragile system it is to make sure everybody gets scheduled. And then for you guys to show up, I think I just get to see a little bit more of the sacrifice that you guys make. And it encourages me. It encouraged me to sit on a chair and have to scoot that pin out of the way because somebody got here early to put it on my chair. I think that's really touching.
That's cool. Nice. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Now I know that you have quite a bit of, what should I say? Internet fame?
Oh, dear.
on this thing you call TikTok. share with us a little bit about how you participate in TikTok and where people can find you.
That's good. I do participate in TikTok. I do really participate. I mean, and as you saw on my slides, my daughter, she likes to pretend to participate too with that ring light. So I do have a TikTok channel. It is Ashley Surratt, if you guys want to follow me. I would put it in the, I don't know, I would say Christian comedy. I put it in the Christian comedy content. It's very similar to kind of what I shared this morning. It's the idea of, I don't really feel like I fit in with Christian culture, but I am not interested in leaving God anytime soon. I'm in it to win it. I believe in him. I love him. But there's just something a little corny about the way people talk. And so I like to make a little bit of fun of it, for better or for worse, online. I feel really safe saying it in this space. I think you guys would all really get it. But yeah, I do funny skits and stuff about the way people talk as Christians. I actually did one the other day about like things worship pastors would never said that I did get inspiration from Matt for. So,
wow.
So
really?
Thank you so much. Oh, yeah. I should have tagged you, but
I'll
I know you don't participate.
Check this out. Wow. I'm not on TikTok, so I don't
He's not on TikTok.
This, but I've seen a couple of the videos somehow. And yeah, they are very funny.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah, it's really, I think it's really fun. It's actually opened up a lot of really cool conversations I've had with other people who have found themselves in the same boat of like, I don't plan on leaving God, but I cannot describe everything as a season. You know, I'm not in a season of anything. And that's where I'm at. And I think it's been really fun to get to make internet friends who are kind of like on the same, you know, part in their faith walk as myself.
Awesome. Well, good. Just wanted everybody to know.
You know what? That was really sweet of you guys to bring it up.
It's worth the views. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing. Really appreciate it. And we got to see, next week is our family Sunday.
Ooh, la,
so if you have children, they will be in here with us unless they are two and under. We have child care for them up in the baby room. That's what it's called, baby room? I don't know.
Yeah.
Kid room, two and under room.
They get it.
They
get it.
Go up there. Yeah. Otherwise, love you guys, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for being here.